Good morning, my brethren. Wow. That's how the Lord likes to be welcomed. From the heart, good morning. Okay, let us just pray at this moment. Lord Jesus, what a privilege we have to be able to come together with brothers and sisters like-minded to worship no other than you, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name we meet. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us all this week and what you've done previous when we were born right through now and into eternity. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be aware that we needed a Savior. And then you told us in the way that you do it that you were that Savior. We have accepted you, Lord, and love you, praise you, honor you. Help us, Lord, to walk the way that you want us to walk. We just pray for those people listening in, their time of listening on the internet. Bless them. May they be a part of us, even though they're not here physically. They are with us in spirit. We are with them. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Shall we stand and sing number 503, It's Setting Me Free, This Holy Ghost Power. It's setting me free, this Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free, this very hour. It's damning my soul. Confirm to you any time, day or night, or when you're working or when you're relaxing, you can actually ask the Lord to be with you, and immediately He comes in and you can feel that freeness, God-given freeness. He does it. And you know what? I believe He likes us to do that. I mean, if you have a little child, you want to be acknowledged. Hello, Daddy. Hello, Mommy. Whatever you are. You know, and you feel good. I believe our Lord does too. He made us. Let's sing number 539. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let's sing it sincerely to our Lord.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit.
Just singing that makes me think, not to be judgmental of other people, never be like that, but you know, you can hear when someone has got the wrong attitude or the wrong spirit. You can actually feel it, that it's not coming out right. And then, thank you, Lord, you can just turn it away. Don't worry about it. It's not your concern. Just pray for those people. But you can notice the difference. Okay, let us sing just a little longer, number 480.
Just a little longer, and the drums on God shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Oh, the way
again. when the battle's over. Do you feel like you're in the battle? Do you really feel like that in this world? Well, it will be over. We can look forward to what we've just sung about. There's an end coming, and the Lord has it in control. Let's sing number 44, which is "In Shady Green Pastures, So Rich and So Sweet, God Leads His Dear Children." That's all you fellows here, and you overseas. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads me along. God leads their children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the flood. Great sorrow, but God gives the song. Really love about that hymn, besides the blessing on it, is the fact that he's with you, be it through the fire, through the water, through all the troubles. He's walking with you. You're not there on your own. Never leaves us on our own. Praise God. Let's sing number 182. never grow old is the chorus. Yeah, I like that idea. And then after that we'll get Pauline and Diane to bring their item immediately after that.
I have heard of a land on the faraway strand, is the beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. Every Israel God is the land where
never grow old. That sounds good to me.
For we need, yes, we need Jesus now more than ever. blind man walked on waters, and he raised up Jairus' daughter. He fed the hungry, cleansed the
true. With the things that are getting on in this world today, we sure do need Jesus now more than ever. In fact, it should encourage us to follow the Lord. He's right with you anyway, but let's be closer to Him in everything that we do and say. Just a reminder, we have our lunch, as we usually do, straight after the service. At 1 p.m. this afternoon, we have a service in here. It's just a short service. Good if you can attend that as well. And also, we have the 7 p.m. Tuesday prayer meeting, which was really good last Tuesday. Those that were there, was that right? Yes. Amen. The more we have, the better it is. So don't miss out. The blessings are there for us if we partake of it. And also Howard mentioned the other day that Brother Maurice Tafadu was going to be here. Well, he can't be here because of the COVID-19 situation and the whatever, but he will be here, it would seem, Lord willing, on October, when Maurice Tafadu and his family and groups that will be here in October. So we just look forward to that. Right, we have some prayer requests here, and I've just asked Nancy if she would put this on the screen there, that verse that the Lord spoke to me about just recently. It's in Hebrews and 13, and I just thought, well, it's ideal that we understand this, and I'll just read it as you can see it. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And you know how sometimes you've probably experienced it when you're reading your scriptures, that sometimes certain verses just come right at you and you feel the blessing of the Lord about it. And it made me think about us when we pray for others and we pray for ourselves, as we're about to pray shortly. I would like for us to read this again and put your name in those words, so that you know that the scripture is talking to you. I'll read it again. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't pray for this or that just because somebody else has got it. And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. With all the things that are going on in the world that are just crazy, 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 because Satan is just thinks he can do what he wants, but we don't have to fear, and we have access to Almighty God, the Creator. We have one here from Malcolm Ulrich, we prayed for some time ago, a few weeks, I think. And he is just thanking you people for praying for him and the Lord for doing the work. And he says, thank you for your support. Thank you, God. I finally no longer crave alcohol. I've cut down smoking cigarettes. I'm not wasting money on my small business state of survival. I need prayer for my finances to improve. Prayer for Steve, Rex, Jackie, Richard, Dave, Donna, and Tana, and everyone else living in the Rangitaiki Flats. I need prayer for divine favor and intervention in all areas of my life. Thank you, God, and thank you, everyone that pray for me. Malcolm Ulrich. Well, that's good to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done and for us to be a part of it. There's one here. Let's continue to lift up Israel before their Lord to keep them and anoint them in all their decision-making, and to encourage them regardless of the enemies. The Bible says, they that bless Israel will be blessed. Who's part of that? I am. Remember Israel many times. Thank our God for the many answered prayers. Part of that too, because he's answered prayers for me. I know it. I just know it. I've got here one that I put to myself. Bible in schools. I think about all these children where the school system wants to kick out the Bible in schools. Well, people that love the Lord Jesus Christ want it in. And some schools are doing it, but not all. So let's just pray for Bible in schools as well. And of course, as always, there's many unspoken prayer requests. If any have here, signified by a raised hand, that you have something that you want the Lord to know about, just be identified. Okay. Let us sincerely pray unto the Lord as I pray. Lord Jesus, you are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our Advocate. You are our Lord God Almighty. You are the only God. There is no other God. Satan thinks he has a lot of monuments and other things that distract people as gods. They don't exist. It's absolute hogwash, is the word. But Lord Jesus Christ, you are the one and only God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that made us, the one that's walking with us, the one that's promised you'll see us through. And we will have, if we acknowledge what you've done through the blood, eternal life. Lord Jesus, we just remember these on the prayer list. Remember on the unspoken prayer requests. You know every detail of every request. And all of those, Lord, that are watching on the internet, you haven't forgotten their request either. You may have said in your heart, me too, Lord, me. Remember me. He does. He doesn't forget a one. All that my Father hath given me will come, the Lord said. Lord, just thank you for what you have done. And we very much appreciate being able to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, our one and only God. Amen and amen. Okay, let's sing number 277. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Shall we stand as we sing that? And while we're singing it, just feel for that spirit to be tickling inside you. Thank you. Feel the Spirit. Just watch for it. Feel it. Just expect it. And you'll get it. Got to expect it. Got to want it. Let's sing one more, then Brother Howard will come. 316. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Just be really still at this moment. I mean, absolutely still and quiet. And let the Lord touch you. He's here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We know you're here. Thank you for blessing us and the people listening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
God bless you all. What makes the wedding wonderful is if God is here. That's if He's here, then everything changes. Who wants to know His presence in your life? You know, not just on Sunday morning, during the week too. When you get down on your knees every morning to pray, which I trust you all do, even praying before you come to service is so important to be in touch with the Lord. So may God help us as we come around His precious word. We just want to turn our Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both of signs and wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So may God just bless the reading of his precious word. And so you can be seated, Sister. faithful sister. Sometimes I forget to say stand, but as long as our hearts are in the right place, this is the most important thing. And I just want to speak about a thought. How shall we escape? Because we just read it. We read in the reading. How shall we escape? And I've been thinking about this. How that God is giving us all an opportunity. Every person here has an opportunity to come to God. You don't have to struggle to come to God. He did the struggling at Calvary. When he was beaten and tested and tried, he was doing it for you. So may the Lord just help us all to consider these things. It says in verse 3, we read, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I pray that He'll bless us. And it's rather a stern warning from God to all believers. You know, if God puts a warning in His Word, I want to read it. I want to take notice of it. It's not there put in there to fill pages. God put it in there as a stern warning to all believers. Paul is exhorting each one of us to listen carefully. We read in Hebrews 2, chapter 1. Wherefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The Amplified Bible says to that, since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we pass over them and slip away. Now, I just believe, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, I don't want to slip past what God is saying to us. And the worst thing we can do is not take seriously sound instruction. You know, it's very important, especially when it reflects our eternal destination. I cannot bring the urgency into your heart this morning. I cannot even bring the urgency into my own heart this morning. God has to do that. And I just pray that He'll help us all, that we will take heed and not let these things slip past us. How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we don't take heed? If somebody gives you a set of instructions to get out of a bad situation, you've got to go over that hill and you must turn left and you must go through a certain gate. That's the only way out. If you don't take heed to the instructions, how will you escape? Now, the Lord has gone to the trouble to record these things. I want to keep it as simple as possible, that we will take heed to what the Lord is telling us. And so, what we need to do is give heed to. We are to give heed to our great salvation. That's what we have to give heed to. You can miss a lot of things in life. You can miss job opportunities. You can miss great offers. There's one thing you don't want to miss, is your salvation. It's so true. So true. So I pray that the Lord will help us to understand this. To take heed means to listen carefully and to take notice of. That's what the word heed means. To listen carefully and to take notice of. I think that is amazing what God is saying to us. Is it possible to let your salvation slip past you? What a horrible thought that is. If you saw a glimpse of hell right now, that would be a very horrible thought. Hell is real, and so is heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm planning for heaven, not for hell. And the Bible speaks a lot about hell and a lot about heaven, but it speaks more about hell and tells us how to get out of it. You don't have to go to hell. No one has to go to hell. Jesus Christ paved the way for you. He went to hell. He went down to the souls in prison. The Bible says so. And He went down because He loves you. He's made a way of salvation. Who loves the Lord? That's really good. So we just pray that He'll make this clear to us. And I think the amazing thing is that God is saying to us, it is possible to let your salvation slip past you. Or as it says in verse 3, if we neglect so great salvation. Now, I want to point out, to neglect does not mean reject. You can neglect something, but it doesn't mean you've rejected it. Somebody gives you an opportunity to receive something, and I want you to be at the bus stop at such and such a time. And you neglect being there at such and such a time to receive what they were offering you. You didn't reject it. You didn't reject it, you just neglected being there. And I just think that is pretty amazing. It's more subtle to neglect than reject. Reject's clean cut. I don't want anything to do with it. But when you neglect it, that's another matter. neglect is to cool off, cool down from this great salvation. You might have heard it preached many times. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can see that. But you've cooled down from there. We no longer take it seriously. And we begin to let our sincerity and our conviction slip. You know, some people think that, oh, once I get saved and He delivers me, I'm in. Praise the Lord, I'm in. I've heard people say that. Well, the Bible speaks a little differently from that. You want to be careful. Don't be casual about your salvation. The Bible speaks here in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not, those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I want to go all the way with God. I don't want to just go along halfway and say, well, I went to church every Sunday. Very nice. But that's not to save you. You go to church because you love the Lord. And so we see that we don't want to lose that full reward. And he says in Philippians, Paul says in Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is that what the Bible says? Am I reading this right? Please tell me if I'm reading it wrong. It says, work out your own salvation. Not your buddy, not the sister or the brother. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So this is bringing out all these scriptures, a serious thing. To neglect our salvation. To neglect the opportunity that's been given to us. So the reason it's saying it is because it's possible to do it. Lord, help us. Who wants the Lord to help you? He will. You be sincere with God, He'll be sincere with you. You take God casually, He'll take you casually. I don't want that. I want Him to take me seriously. Praise be to the name of the Lord. You know, I always think of Israel. We've spoken about this before, but there's 2.5 million Israelis that were saved and delivered from the Egyptian slave pits. You've all seen the Ten Commandments, I'm sure. The terrible things that they experienced. And they were locked in there for 400 years. But they had a prophecy that at a certain time in 400 years, God would send a mighty deliverer and put His hand down and deliver them. So they were under expectation. Every morning they got up to pray before they went to the slave pits. They got up and they prayed. God, may this be the day that You'll send Your mighty hand down and deliver us. There's expectation that they were going to be delivered. And it was real to them. If you had a taskmaster's whip on your back every day, you'd be praying very seriously too. And they were praying, Lord, help us, we pray. And deliver us. Send the deliverer. We want to go to the promised land. Who wants to go to the promised land? We are waiting to go to the promised land, brother and sister. We are under expectation to go to that land. Or do you want to stay here? Help me, Lord, all right? I don't want to stay here. This is a madhouse. People have lost all sense of value and judgment. Do you agree with that? So I want the Lord to come and take us as He's promised to do in this generation. At this time. So they were under expectation. But then neglected so great salvation as they had to go into the promised land. They actually failed to enter the promised land. That's the truth. Moses said, right, God says you've got to cross Jordan. We're going to go into the promised land. God has brought us all this way. You waited 430 years, because that's exactly the time it was. You have waited 430 years to go into this promised land, and here we are. And we're going across. They said, Moses, we can't do that. Why? Why can't you cross? Oh, there's too many giants in the land. That's what they said. We can't go there. We're just like grasshoppers. When God says go, you go. He'll take care of grasshoppers. He will. Who believes God knows how to handle a grasshopper? Amen. So, brothers and sisters, keep your eye on the promise. God has given us a promise. He gave them a promise. But as they were going, they had all their trials and testings. We know they did. The water's too bitter. This is not right. We're hungry. We want meat. Oh, they were a terrible bunch. God had such patience with Israel. That's amazing. And I'm glad he's got the same patience with me. Who needs God's patience? And long sufferings with us too. And so we see they were right. They could look across. They could see the promised land. That's all they had to do. They could see it in view. And all they had to do was cross there. They said, we can't do it. They neglected the opportunity. And they were lost. Lost. Jesus said, every one of them are dead. Terrible. Except those under the age of 20, another generation, they went over. So, the scripture here in 2 John was very important. Work out your own soul, own salvation with fear and trembling. That we lose not the things that we have wrought. But they neglected the great salvation. Now Jesus gave an example concerning a man who was set free. He's free. Now be careful. We are free. But we want to stay free in Christ Jesus. Let's read Matthew 12:43. It says, when an unclean spirit, that's a demon, is gone out of a man or a woman, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. Demons never get rest. And findeth none. Then this devil saith to himself, I'll return into my house. What an audacity that a demon would call a human being his house. That's a lie. Your house is for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your house belongs to God. Amen. You believe that's amen. Amen? We don't want any demons coming around trying to take residence. So he thought he'd go back because he couldn't find any rest. I'll go back to the person I came out of. And when he was come, this is an interesting thing. He findeth their house empty, swept, and garnished. I just want to say this, that this person had cleaned things up a bit in their life. They'd had a sort of walking in a sanctified life. And they were just doing things a lot different to what they used to be. Getting cleaned up, but it's more than getting cleaned up, brother and sister. You need to be filled. When you wash a cup, and you clean a cup, we're talking about those empty vessels. Well, they have to be clean and empty for the oil of God to go into them. But this man, what he'd done was he just had a sanctified life. He got rid of this, got rid of that by the grace of God. But he was still empty. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to keep out the devil. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you've got no power to stand against the enemy. And so we see here, he comes there and he finds it empty. The house is empty, all polished up and dusted. Because the man cleaned his life up by the grace of God and to a sanctified life, but he never went any further. We're not just coming to a sanctified life. It's got to be more than that. We need the power of God to be indwelling us. And then it says here, verse 45, then goeth he, that demon, and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. This is why we need to be diligent. This is why we need to take heed. Don't just go halfway with God. Oh, I go to church now. I clean up my life. I've quit this. I've quit that. Listen, that's very good. It's on the way. You're just on the way. Remember, Israel was on the way to the promised land, but they weren't in it. You see how important this is? Who believes this is important? And so, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So the Lord is telling us through that parable to be careful. Make sure that your house is filled with the Holy Spirit. So this man thought a sanctified life was all that was necessary. He actually neglected a full salvation. You've seen it. I've seen it. I'm not being critical of people. Thousands give their heart to the Lord. You know, so we've seen how many going to Billy Graham crusades, all going down the aisle, giving their heart to Jesus. And that's wonderful. They come back in 2 months, they're not even there anymore. I don't want that. I want a full salvation. I want to be filled with the Spirit. For God is coming for those that have the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's your quickening power. That's got to be the blood on the door. The token of God's got to be on your life, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that will take you in a rapture. Isn't that wonderful? And so, this is the condition people get themselves into. Too many have left their love and their commitment to God and slowly subsided. You know, brother and sister, there's too much backsliding. You know what we need? We need some front sliding. Not backsliding, front sliding. Getting closer to God. I can't do it for you. I've got to do it for myself. I cannot do it for my wife or my children. I have to seek the Lord myself. He's not coming for a church. He's coming for sons and daughters. For those that love the Lord and are walking in the fullness of His Word. And being filled with the Spirit. Having Him in the house. He's the residence. He's in the residence. Hallelujah. So, it is prophecy being fulfilled. This generation was prophesied to be this way. We are in the last church age. We are in the last age before the Lord comes. Look, you brothers, to tell me, just believe me, you don't have to be very spiritual to know these things. We are here. We see the outskirts of hell infiltrating into this world. You know that. We need to say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Speaking of the last days, in Matthew 24, Jesus speaking, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound. In other words, iniquity is flourishing. So I looked up iniquity, some pretty interesting definitions of iniquity. People say, oh, iniquity is sin. It is sin, but it's a special type of sin. It's a sin that affects Christians. And in this iniquity is deliberate willingness to walk against God's word. This is iniquity, to deliberately walk against God's word. You know you shouldn't do it, and you're just going to do it anyway. That's iniquity. And because it's flourishing, Jesus said, in the last day, it's really doing well. There's iniquity everywhere. We live in an iniquitous nation. The love of many, because of this condition, he said, the love of many shall wax cold. Oh, that's such an awful thing. The love for God to wax cold in you. I used to think about that waxing cold. I've spoken to you about it, some of you. You get a candle. You light a candle. And it starts burning. And you see coming down the candle, you see the wax. It's running down the candle. Now this is important, why Jesus used this example, I believe. When the wax is running down the candle, you say, ah, it's pretty hot. It is hot when you first touch it. But then you go further down the candle and get your finger and you put it up against the candle where the wax is running down. You give a tiny wee press, just a tiny press. Oh, it's got a skin on it already. And you didn't even notice it. You didn't notice it was cooling down. And Jesus said, the love of many shall wax cold. It's a slow process. You used to be on fire for God. You used to be dead sincere. You used to be hungry for God. You're seeking the Lord. And now you're cooling down. You're losing your first love. That's one of the accusations the Lord gave to one of the church ages, because you've left your first love. It's a special love. It's when you first fall in love, it's real, isn't it? When you fall in love with somebody, it's very real. I used to say, you know, you have your wife or somebody you've married, that, you know, that's just oppression. You know, it's everything's just glowing and darling this and sweetheart that, and you mean it with all your heart. Oh, darling, I love you. You're so precious to me. Now listen, unfortunately in this country, that love starts to subside. And when it does, they say, this is how they speak, they use the same words with a different expression. Before they say, oh, darling, I love you. Now they say, further down the road, darling, come here. Same word, no feeling. We say, Lord, Lord. He said in the Bible, many say, Lord, Lord. They call him Lord, Lord, but their heart is not with him. We go through the forms of loving God. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you, Lord. And your life on Monday proves otherwise. Wow. Think of that. How does the Lord think? People serve the Lord on Sunday and serve the devil the rest of the week. He doesn't want a wife like that. A bride's going to be a separated person to the Word of God. What he says, that's what we do. And so we see the love of many, Jesus said, shall wax cold because of iniquity. Iniquity is allowed to go unchecked. You know, I remember as a kid, we were just so careful what we did. It wasn't legal. We just wanted to be right with God. I don't want to get into all the things. But we just separated from that. But today it's no problem. I remember we'd never go to the pictures, the movies, see these terrible films of Hopalong Cassidy. You know what I mean? But then it was serious. Today, you've got it right in your home. And you're watching stuff you should never watch. Now, I never had this written down. You're watching things you should never be watching. But you've cool down. Because iniquity, deliberately going against God's word, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's still wax, but it's getting hard. But it says there, he went on to say, that he that endures unto the end shall be saved. Let me say this, my precious brother and sister. I love you. God knows I do. He knows what I prayed this morning. This is an endurance. This is not a free ride. This is not walking through the park, strolling along. This is an endurance test. I want to say you're going to be tested even more. So you need something on the inside of you to give you power to overcome, and that's the Holy Ghost. You should be number one on your heart to be filled with the Spirit. Yes, that which we once held very dear to our hearts, very dear and scarce and very sacred to our life, has slipped into the background of our life. And other things have taken place. Other things have slipped in. The Lord, your Savior, is on the back burner. Because when it comes to making a choice between the things of God and what you want to do, these come first. Because He's not your all. The Lord doesn't want us to go 90% with Him, 95% with Him. He wants you to be 100% with Him. May the Lord help us all. He may come tomorrow. He may come this afternoon. I know one sure thing. He is coming. And we need to be ready. Jesus said, be therefore ready, for an hour when you think not, He'll come. They come, Lord, Lord, why have you shut the door? Lord, have we not, Lord, loved you, and we've heard your word in our streets. We've prophesied in your name. Prophesied in your name. Done many wonderful works in your name. God, He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Deliberately going against what God's told you to do. That's a horrible spirit, and we need to flee it. Get on our knees and say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Like Isaiah, when he came to the presence of God, and the Lord filled the temple. His train filled every corner of that temple. He wants every corner of you, temple. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God wants every corner of your life. When he saw the presence of the Lord Jesus in that place, he said, woe is me. For I, the prophet, the great prophet Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm undone. I just feel totally exposed. For my eyes have seen the King. For I live amongst the people of unclean lips. Come and cleanse my lips too, Lord. That's what he needed, the coal from off the altar. The fire of God is going to come into your life, brother and sister. You won't be there without the Holy Ghost. You need the oil, the fire of God, all the same things got to fill you. Not just be a vessel that's cleaned up a bit, sanctified and cleaned. And you will be, of course, that's all part of it. But you need more than that. He's lost our attention. Other things have taken your attention. Dominating your life and your mind to be filled up with a whole lot of junk. And the Lord's standing there waiting to see if he'll come in. He can be invited back in. You know what the Lord said? Matthew 6:24. No man, no woman. Can you put that up, Nancy, please? Can serve two masters. The master. Somebody's going to be the master. Is it the Lord or is it the world? For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he'll hold to one and despise the other. Neglect the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God in the world and the things of this world. It's not possible. So Christ is now on the outside knocking, trying to get back in. In Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and, that's a conjunction, hear and open the door. Because I heard a lovely message. Very nice. What did you do about it? I remember Brother Perry Green came here, and he was a really good preacher. He's an American preacher, even higher than me. He's up here somewhere. Most of you know him. And I revered him, actually. I thought he's a holy man of God. Wow. Perry Green. You know, being used to preach everywhere around the world. He came and preached here. And I was so blessed. So blessed. So challenged in my heart. Who's been challenged this morning? I want to be challenged. And I went out there, and he was leaning against those double doors out there. Big man just leaning against the doors. So I said, I wonder if I could say something to him. I was a bit frightened. So I crept up. I wasn't even a deacon in those days. I was just a nobody, still am. And I went up to him and said, he's standing there like this, just like his arms, just like he's standing like that, Brother Lee. He always used to stand with his arms folded, often. I said, Brother Green? He said, yes. I said, Brother Green, that message this morning was a wonderful blessing to me. You know what he did? He just stood there like this. And he just turned to me and said, then obey it. And I was offended. But you know what? When I went away, I thought, he's right. He is right. Don't just hear the word, tickle your ears, say, oh, that's true, I like that. Do something with it. Jesus said, don't be a hearer only, but a doer of my word. So that really spoke to me. Praise the Lord for that. So God is always knocking. He's always knocking on the door of people's hearts, and so few are opening. One day he'll knock for the last time. I just want to do what he wants me to do. Don't you feel that way? I want to do what he wants me to do. I don't want to put in my ideas, my thoughts. I said, Lord, what will you have me to do? That's what I want to do. So it's hard to find any real sincerity left in this generation we're living in. People seem to not reject salvation so much, but they make light of it by neglecting it. Jesus once again prophesying of the last day condition just before supper time. In a parable, he said this, Matthew 22:1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Well, we know that was the Lord. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, the patience of God. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and everything All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. This is the problem right here. They didn't reject it. They just made light of it. They made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, more important. Another to his merchandise, had things to do, had a business to run. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, listen to this, not to the churches, into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered as many as they could find, as many as they found, both bad and good. God will take you as you are, bad or good, he'll take you. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. Wasn't that awful? We know the wedding garment is the righteousness of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he didn't have that on. He saith unto him, friend, isn't God gracious? That's what he said to Judas. Friend? Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I want to say this, my dear brother and sister. Don't be speechless to the Lord. Have a ready answer. Don't say, no. You say, Lord, I need you right now. Amen. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called. Oh yes, they hear the call. They hear the knock. But few are chosen. Jesus said so. And this is a warning to our generation, the last day we're living in. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. So, brother and sister, we can see how we need to be ready. Many start out with great appreciation. I have seen them in this church. I've seen them come down, tears running down the cheeks. Oh, I just love the Lord. And they meant it. And it was real. But it didn't stay that way very long. They were distracted. Cooled down. Other things stepped in. In this age we see especially a great deterioration of faith. You know what our Lord Jesus said? When the Son of Man returns, would he find faith on the earth? Question mark. That's a prophecy. I wonder if he'll find faith here. Who has faith in their hearts? Hold on to it. Don't let it slip through your fingers. Bind it about your neck. Hold on to it with all your heart. Spend more time in prayer. Get on your knees. Help us, Lord. It's because of the easy living. People have become self-sufficient. Another prophecy being fulfilled. Revelation 3:17. Because you say, not God, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, I have need of nothing. That's what we said. And God speaks back. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I know that what the Lord says is true. For this last generation we're living. I don't know how many are coming in, but it's getting it's getting slowing down big time. How we once rejoiced in a great salvation. We always talked about His wonderful salvation. It's readily upon our lips. People get together, they should be talking about the Lord. Instead, they're talking about everything else. They're talking about their barbecue. They're talking about something else, their new house alterations. If you, any of those apply to you, I'm not holding that as being wrong. I'm just saying, when we get together, our conversation should be about the Lord. So he's saying, what he's saying is true. We used to be overjoyed to see the moving of the Spirit. We thirsted to see the moving of the Holy Spirit. We hungered for it. I have to put this testimony in because God's telling me to. When I was a young boy and I received the Holy Ghost, I was 14. And we had a lot of people used to come to our home because Mum and Dad had a big house, something you know, in Abbott Street there, 62 Abbott Street, big place. And Mum was a very good host. And people would come and would have meetings there in that big lounge, would seat about 70 people, easy. And we'd have a wonderful time of fellowship, and it was just rich from start to finish. Then everyone was going to go home. My dad says, why don't we just stay for tea? So they all stayed for tea, and Mum got to pull open those cupboards, and all sorts of stuff came out of them. And she fed the people. Now listen to this. God knows I'm telling you the truth. The dad said, after we've had a bite, we can come in here and have some more fellowship. I was so under expectation to be in the Spirit of God, I lost my appetite. Now, for a young 14-year-old, hot scones with blackberry jam and cream was too much for me. I loved it. But you know, then I couldn't touch it. I just hardly could wait to get back into that room, the lounge, and see the Holy Spirit come in the room. I remember sitting on by the double doors, Lee, in the front, sitting there, and my dad said, let's pray. And everyone just prayed. I saw the Holy Spirit come in the door, in my heart or my mind, I don't know how it was. And it just hit the first person in that chair, because there must have been about 60... maybe 70 people in the room, all the way around, all seated in a big semicircle, or a big circle rather. And they exploded, started praising God. Then the next person exploded. The next person, just like ginger beer bottles going. Honestly, it was amazing to watch the Spirit come right around the room. I was hungry for that, and I still am. Who's hungry for that? And if you hunger and thirst for it, God will satisfy a hungry heart. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's what he said. They that are hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Who wants to be filled? Then you've got to check your hunger. You've got to check whether there's a whole lot of junk in there, things that are hindering that. He says, I've tried for the Holy Spirit. Oh, I've come for the front. Brother laid his hands on me. That's good. And I'm not against that. It's wonderful. But your heart's got to be ready. Don't waste the preacher's time. Don't waste God's time. Don't waste your own time. You've got to be right with God. You've got to have a hunger for God and put Him first. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. We've lost that deep, sincere passion for God. We used to love the Word of God. We'd always hear the Word of God. Sumptuously fed upon the Word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It was life to our souls. Brother and sister, we've lost something. I'm telling you, we have lost something. But it's not all lost. He's still there. He's waiting for you to come to Him. We have lost that first love. We've neglected so great salvation. Another lover has come into your life. Before, He used to be your lover. He was your bridegroom. You just loved the Lord. But other things have come in a bit more important than He is now. What a shocking thing that is. What a horrible thought that is.
Got to get rid of that other lover. Get rid of the world. Kick it out. Many so-called believers have resorted to entertainment. Entertainment instead of prayer and waiting on God. I'm sorry if this is touching bad spots, but I'm sorry, that's what I feel led to say. Instead of the real Holy Ghost fellowship around the Word of God, many started out on the race, as it says in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run the race run all? If you've entered this race, you've got to run the whole lot. But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. It says here in the Amplified Bible, or the same scripture, do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run, Paul's saying, so run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. You get so hungry for God, nothing's going to stop you. Oh, it's just so wonderful. Jesus said again in Matthew 24:13, that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Where is the Holy Ghost thirst in people? No wonder Jesus said again about our age. I quoted before, Luke 18:8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He will. It's got to be in me. Who wants that faith? It won't be a lot around, but I tell you what, we're going to be a precious bunch of people that love the Lord. We're going all the way with God. No matter what other churches do, that's between them and God. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. What a mighty privilege we have. What a great privilege has been given to you and I. What have we done with this great salvation? And so few have had the privilege of being called and chosen. There's millions upon the face of the earth that don't even know about Jesus Christ. We have heard. What have we done with the Word of God? God so graciously came down our street. Hallelujah. He knocked on our door. You know, brothers and sisters, should shake us to the roots. He went past all those other people on our street. And he came to me. Time's running out. Do we fully realize the Gentile days are nearly over? The Gentiles will be left in their sin. God will be turning to the Jews. Sorry, Gentiles, it's over. He won't be dealing with Jews and Gentiles. He'll deal with one or the other. And when the Gentiles finish, the Jews will receive their Messiah. He'll send his messengers down. People still go to church thinking they're getting saved. There's going to be a time like that. And it's all over. People have turned down so great salvation. What a terrible day that will be. May God give us another opportunity to search our hearts, a time to deal with our neglect of the great salvation. Seek after God. Don't let any of us neglect our great salvation. We don't want to miss it. What a horrible thing to miss it. God will play back this meeting this morning. One day it will be played back on the skies. He'll say, what did you do with my word? Shall we stand for prayer? Every head bowed, brother and sister, this is no joke. This is between you and God alone. Say, Lord, where do I fit in? Where do I fit into this? We've got to fit somewhere. We've got to be those that are really seeking the Lord, seeking after God. or in the other group who neglected, made light of it. Make light of it. This is not my word. I've been reading what Jesus said, not what I think. You need to do something with it. I'm going to give you an opportunity for those who want to seek the Lord, come forward. I'm going to give you that opportunity. I could never said on the day of judgment I didn't give you the opportunity because I'm going to. God will speak to your heart and help you. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing, Lord, that You are here. You see every heart. You know all about us. We can't hide from Thee, neither do we want to. I pray, Lord, that You would move in our hearts, Lord, and may we not neglect such an opportunity. Speak to hearts, Lord, to be serious with God. Lord, for this is the hour we're living in. You said, would there be faith on the earth when You come? And I believe there is some faith, Lord. Not very much, but there will be some. I just want to be a part of that, Lord. Help me, Lord, to give my all to Thee. I commit this audience to You, Lord, and those joining with us, in the name of Jesus Christ, for Your glory. Help us, Lord, to enter the land this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Created me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within. Created me a clean heart,
thinking about it this morning. 20 years ago I was in Melbourne preaching to a Baptist church of at least 500 people, and this Baptist church was from Eastern Europe, a Romanian church. I believe you might have been there, Lily. We went a half an hour, or now I can't remember, but at least a half an hour. And the entire church was on their knees waiting on God before the meeting. You know, it's no good to start talking in front of a meeting. Or a prayer meeting, for that matter. Let me just say this because I have a conviction on my heart about it. We don't run flea markets. We run services in the house of God. We want to keep it holy and sacred. And so we should come believing and be prayed up that God is going to move in our lives, or we just come in one way and we go out the same as we came in. I pray that God will speak to your hearts. And in this church we had wonderful move of God's Spirit. We're praying for people. It's a beautiful church. And you know what happened when we went praying for the people? There's tears on the floor, puddles of tears from repentance. Is that right? Wonderful, wonderful time. And then all of a sudden I was praying for some people that came forward. The whole church erupted, praising God, just about taking the roof off. I wasn't sure. I just said, well, praise the Lord. I just joined in. But then the pastor told me afterwards the reason people were rejoicing, because that family that came forward, they've been praying for 6 months, and the whole family came back to God in that meeting. God will receive you if you open the door. We sing this once more. Does anybody like prayer, even for healing? You're welcome to come in the name of the Lord.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, and renew a right spirit.
Right spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Oh, let it be. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take from thy Holy Spirit from
to sing 354, Jesus, just the mention of your name, flowers grow. And out of interest too, I remember the church that he spoke about with the 500 odd people all around. If I've got the right service, the first person that came out was the preacher, and he just put himself right before God. Let's sing that, Jesus, just a mention of it.
Thank you.
Amen. You know, if we feel like praising God, we just do it. Make sure we do it. Don't put it off because I don't have time. I wasn't ready. I didn't know what to say. God will receive you exactly as you are. Just call on Him. I'm just going to pray now, and then we'll sing this song again. Lord, we just so much appreciate You and what You've done for us. We thank You for this service, Lord. We thank You for the service this afternoon. We thank You for the luncheon that You've provided. And Lord, what You've given us, we're so very grateful. May we keep exactly what You put in our heart this morning until You come. We ask these things in Your precious and holy name. And Lord, just be with us as we just sing this as the people go on their way. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, just a mention.
Jesus, just a mention.